You know, you're such a welcoming church.
I want to thank you because you are all such a welcoming bunch of people. We don't take that for granted.
You know, statistically, only about 1 in 20 people who visit your church will stay. So you've got to get 20 people to come and visit just to get a chance that they might stay. Because that's just the way it is. People are just looking. And they might be from out of town, or So, you know, we greet every person, we love every person, we count it a privilege to be able to minister and love. We want to make sure every person who visits our church, whether they stay or not, has a God encounter with us. Yes? And we make them feel loved. Yes? That's your job. That's your job when you come to church. It's not about you getting blessed, although you do, but it's give and receive, yeah? Some of the greatest blessings I've had, Fiji blessed me to pieces. Let me tell you, I'm so glad. Because in giving you receive. I reckon I got more than they got. I got so much out of that. And I guess I just want to thank you for being a welcoming church. Yeah. Because they're quite hard to find, actually. Oh, dear. So whether they stay or whether they move on, we at least want them to go having a good report. Yes? Hey, you want to go to that Pursuit Church? They make you really feel loved and welcome. Just show up every once. If you need a love dose, just go to Pursuit once a month or once a year or something. You ever see that movie? That guy. It was called The Invisible Man, I think. And no one could see him. And wherever he went, he'd talk to people, and he'd sort of try and get in front of them. And it's like they just looked straight past him. It's like he wasn't there. And he was, but nobody noticed him. And he'd say hello to people and they'd just ignore him. And wherever he went, he was just ignored. And it was like he was invisible. And he thought, there must be something wrong with me. Nobody talks to me. And in the end, he got on a train with a machine gun and shot everybody in the carriage. It was like, I just need affirmation that I'm real, that I'm actually having an effect on the world in which I think I'm living. So, and as he shot all these people, there's just this terrific grin came over his face, and he was so happy because he felt like I'm real, I exist, and I have an impact on my environment. Not a particularly positive one, but. Who's seen that movie? You'd remember it if you saw it. Okay, all right. I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there. They go home, they kick the cat. You know why? They don't get a machine gun out and kill the thing, but they kick the cat. Or they beat their wives, or they yell at their kids. You know why? Because nobody loved them that day. Nobody made them feel loved, so they didn't have anything to give. So, it's our responsibility to share the love around. Turn to the person next to you and say, I care about you, I love you. I care about you. I love you. And you are welcome in this church. You are welcome in this church. You know, the disciples belonged before they believed. You need to think about that. I think it was Andrew who said to Jesus, where do you live? And he said, come and see. He took him home. Well, we did that for the first 2 years. You'd remember that. First 2 years, and John and Diane, you'd remember that. When we started the church, for the first 2 years, everybody came to our place for lunch. Every Sunday after church, we all had lunch at our place for 2 years. We were just trying to create an atmosphere that people belong, And, we can sort this stuff out later. Man came and saw me. And said, look, I need to go to a church, but I want you to know that, I'm living with a woman, I'm not married to her. And I know,
You're not supposed to, but I look, people need to feel like they belong before we try and dump any "you must" on them. In fact, we shouldn't be dumping any "you musts" on anybody. What happened to grace, for crying out loud? Do you know? You know why the prostitutes loved Jesus? Do you know why the thieves and the tax collectors and the drunkards and all the ugly people, all the refuse of society? I'm not speaking from my perspective. That's how other people see them. You know why they love Jesus? Because they never felt guilty when they're around him. Prostitutes never felt guilty hanging around the holiest man who ever lived. How do you figure that out? We're talking about God here. They felt so comfortable around Jesus. They invited him into their home. And the brothel was probably upstairs somewhere on the roof. No wonder they thought Jesus was, you know, suspect. The people who had a problem with Jesus were all the religious people. They had so many rules and regulations, so many hoops you had to jump through before you could ever be welcome in their place. And you know, there are still parts of the body of Christ that operate like that today. Oh, God. God, I'm so glad I'm part of a church where I'm good enough to be part of it. Even pastors don't feel good enough to be part of their own church. And they make the rules. Oh, gee. Hallelujah. Oh, well, that was just for free. I told my wife that this message would probably go for at least 2 Sundays because I always have little bits and pieces that go in between before and after. And true to form, I have not yet started my message and we're halfway through. So it looks like you've got me again next Sunday. Please show up because I'm terribly insecure and I'll take it very personally if you're not here. What did I tell you? 3 minutes. I'd like to thank Lloyd. Where are you, Lloyd? Is he here? Oh, Lloyd, thank you for coming early this morning. You have a great reward, my brother. Jesus said you can't give a cup of cold water to somebody without getting a reward. Here. I want a reward. Have to have a drink. I want my reward to be worth something. Thank you. I get a reward for that. Because Jesus said so. And he wasn't in the business of lying or exaggerating. He will remind you. I will remind you of that when I see you in heaven. Because I've got no idea what my reward is, but I'll come up to you and say, Diane, remember when we made that joke about getting a reward? This is what I got. This is my reward.
Will I get a reward for giving it back?
Well, I guess so. I don't know. But all jokes aside, you know, we would not be able to do what we do here without the people who are in the Helps ministry. And Lloyd, you know, you're not as young as you used to be, mate. We need to believe God and pray for some young people to join our church. And, you know, for people who are willing to lug all this gear out and set it up in the morning, you know. And I thought, I was watching you this morning and I thought, mate, God is not unjust as to forget your labor of love. See, we show love in different ways. You know, some people, they show love the way they serve. Not everybody has that gift, but Lloyd has got a real servant heart and he's on time. And I never have to worry about whether you're going to show up or not. It's, I don't know, there's something about the old school, buddy. They, our parents, they kind of put something in us, eh? You know, that's just not all that easy to find these days amongst the younger generation. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful for John and Lynn. They're another couple, you know. And the Bible says, give honor to where honor is due. And I want you to know that your labor has what made our song service possible this morning. You know, great breakthrough for people, and you share a reward in that, and I'm deeply grateful. You know, Jesus said he would build his church, didn't he? Yeah? And it's more than just coming together. You know, the church is people, and it's out there, and it's everywhere. But, you know, this is a big part of what Jesus is doing. This is a big part of what he said he would do. And if Jesus said he's going to build his church, I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. What about you? I want to be a part. You know, I want to feel like I'm making a contribution in some way. So my wife did the roster yesterday. It took her all day yesterday to complete this jigsaw puzzle. And at the end, she's doing, I did it! I did it! We had a 5-Sunday month, and John and Lynn and Kevin and Steph and da-da-da-da are away. And I did the roster. And it was like there's this victorious triumph, this moment of like I overcame the impossible. And thank you, Dave and Julie. But give them a big round of applause, our latest addition to the roster. Oh, come on, it's worth more than that. Whoa! She said to me afterwards, she said, thank God for David and Julie. She said, I don't know what I would have done. Just that one spot. I mean, it's not a lot, but, you know, every person, everyone doing just one little thing really helps and makes my wife's job so much easier. And can you remind me, it's Lloyd, can you thank Tess, please, so much for her being with us Sunday school this morning? Okay. All righty. So, stay with me. Jesus said he would build his church, and I'm going to be part of it, part of the building of it, you know. So if you're not on the roster yet, or if you're only on once a month, I encourage you to dip your toes in the water and just see if there isn't a reward there for you now, as well as in eternal glory. Okay, if you're taking notes, this message is called If and But. That piqued your curiosity, didn't it? If and but. Some people, you know, they say they've got a photographic memory. Have you ever seen those people? It's amazing. Those kids' programs, they quote, you know, like 100 numbers and all in order, and the kids can just remember. I don't know how they do that. But some people have a photographic memory. Some of us have memories that haven't been quite developed yet. Remember the old camera days? I was going to try and find one and bring it, but you had these rolls of film that you put in, and you took them into the chemist, and you got back the negatives as well. You got the pictures and you got the negatives as well. What would you think if they only gave you back the negatives and didn't give you the pictures? You saw this beautiful picture and you took a shot, and what did you get? A negative, and it was all dark and grey and black and didn't look anything like what you thought it was going to be. And sometimes, you know, we have a picture, a dream of what life is going to turn out like, but we end up with an undeveloped negative. Got any undeveloped negatives in your life? You've taken this picture in your mind of what the situation's going to be like, your future spouse or your kids, your family, or what this business you're planning, you know. But as yet, it's just still an undeveloped negative. Negative pictures of your life in your imagination that haven't been fully developed into positives yet. And it can take a bit of work sometimes, building something positive out of all those negatives. That's why it's called the fight of faith, calling things that are not as though they are. A lot of people just live with their undeveloped negatives and call things that are as though they are. But our job is to develop our imagination so God can start to create the reality in our world. I love what Lynn taught last Sunday, and I might just go there briefly later on. But a person of faith calls things that are not as though they are. And then having done all to stand, because it takes a while to develop some of those negatives into beautiful full colour pictures. Sometimes you've just got to stand in the dark for a while until the negative develops. And that's not easy. seeing in the dark, but we have supernatural vision. Let's go to John chapter 11 in our Bibles. And I'm not quite the high-tech preacher that my wife is, so we're not going to put it up on overhead. You're going to have to bring your Bible to church if I'm preaching. John chapter 11. It's the story of Lazarus. A certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet and her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters went to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." And Jesus heard that. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days. Yeah, sometimes God's ways are higher than ours, aren't they? Then he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." And then he said, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I can wake him up." And verse 13, Jesus, however, was not talking about a natural sleep. He spoke of his death. Okay, Jesus said plainly, verse 14, "Lazarus is dead." Verse 16, Thomas, who was called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." You know, the amazing thing is this whole chapter is about resurrection life. And all the disciples can think about is death. They refuse to believe that Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead. And he's talking about going to Jerusalem. And they says, "Oh, Lord, they're talking about stoning you there. It's dangerous to go to Jerusalem. Let's not go there. We'll die." And Jesus says to them, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" I love that scripture. Saying, look, the glass is always half full or half empty. And it depends on how you look at it. "Are there not 12 hours in the day? Can't you guys see something positive here? I'm talking about resurrection. I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead." And after all that, Didymus says, "Let's go to Jerusalem and die with him." This is the great resurrection passage. Jesus has put a picture in their mind of a dead man walking again, but they can't see it because they haven't renewed their mind to that potential. Verse 21. Martha said to Jesus after he shows up, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "Yep, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Some people are always putting off their victory until tomorrow. Because Jesus is talking about now. He said, "You know, I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead now." And she says, "Oh, I can believe that he'll rise at the resurrection, at the last day." Because she had a mind for that. She had an imagination of that. She had that picture already well established since she was a little girl, if she was a good Hebrew, you know. She knew about the resurrection. She had a framework for that. She could see that. So when Jesus said, "I'm going to raise your brother from the dead," she says, yes, over here. And, you know, people sort of criticized dear old Martha because she was the one who got ticked off for not sitting at his feet, you know, and being busy. And here she is putting off the resurrection till the future. Let me encourage you, if your victory hasn't come yet, if you're on a journey, don't be discouraged. At least your faith is active now for the future. Yeah? At least Martha had faith for the future, didn't she? Yeah, I believe he's going to rise from the dead. But she had it over here. And Jesus was trying to help her to bring it forward a little bit. You know, and the fulfillment of what God has promised us
Right now, for a lot of us, it's out there somewhere, and that's okay. Hey, don't be so hard on yourself. At least you got faith for the future. Say, I've got faith. At least I got faith. At least I believe the stuff. That's more than a lot of people do. Give yourself a pat on the back. Hey, at least I'm a believer. It's just not quite within my grasp yet, but it's at least it's there. I can see it there. And that's great. Feed that. Feed your faith and it'll fight for you. You don't have to do this on your own. It's not your fight. We put on the new man. I am the healed. Well, how do you do that? You know, we're told to put off the old man and put on the new. And it tells us how. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, of your imagination. You've got to renew your imagination. Now, Lynn said last week that a lot of this sounds like New Age stuff. It's not the New Age stuff. They pinched it from the Bible. They're a cheap copy. And besides, they have no authority for what they believe. We're the only ones who have a foundation for our faith. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ makes what we believe solid. You know, we've got something to stand on. This is just pie in the sky. This is just mind over matter. You'd be amazed what people believe. Who's that guy? I can't remember his name now. A couple of famous movie stars into Scientology. I saw a program the other day on Scientology. Tom Cruise. And it blew my mind. I mean, this guy's... I thought he was intelligent, but I guess anybody can be deceived. The stuff they believe is unbelievable. And what's the basis for it? Some guy, Ron Hubbard, just making up this nonsense. Absolute garbage. I was talking to a teacher at school the other day. He was he used to be a test fighter pilot for NASA. But he had to leave there because he had a couple of crashes and it shrunk his spine. And, that's what he gets paid for. So now he's a teacher. But he's saying, when he was there, you know, he met amazing men, scientists, incredible men, intelligent people, who believed incredible garbage, like Scientology. And he says, it's beyond him how these people can think this kind of stuff. It's called deception. It's spiritual in nature. It's called deception. But we are not deceived. We have a solid rock of foundation. We have the truth. He has a name. It's called Jesus. And he created everything. And he's the author of life. And he overcame death. Hallelujah. The same spirit that raised him from the dead will also quicken our mortal bodies, our dying bodies. It's going to quicken them. Yes, on the last day. But I like the way Smith Wigglesworth died. We had a great men's prayer meeting on Saturday, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was you, Dave, told us about... Was it you? It was Dave. Told us how Smith Wigglesworth died. Yeah, the Lord said, okay, Smith, time to go. And they did what do they call it when you examine your body? It's called a... The autopsy, yeah. And there wasn't anything wrong with them. That's the way I want to go. Spirit life. His organs, his body was quickened, even in his old age. He was alive. He was alive as a man of faith. That's what we want. Whoa! Thank God for Wednesday night home group. We're catching the spirit of why we want to be healthy and healed. Praise God. So at least Martha had faith for the future. At least she had faith for something. And then she says in verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And she had faith for that. She had faith for the fact that if Jesus had actually been there, the situation would have been different. And some of us ask the question, Lord, where were you when this happened in my life? If you had been there, if I'd had a little more help from you or a little more understanding, you know, if only. How many of you got if onlys? Anybody got any if onlys? You're the only one who's got if onlys in your life? It's true. If only I had known then what I know now. If only I had spent more time with my kids. If only I had not made that stupid decision when I invested. Da, 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 da. If only I had, you know, we've all got them, haven't we? We've all got our life. We're full of if onlys. But you know what I love about Martha? She's actually, she gets a bad rap, Martha. She's actually a woman of faith. She's actually a woman of faith. Look at this. But even now, the guy's dead. He stinketh. He's been in the tomb for what, 3 days? 4 days. But even now, if I shout, JS, just turn me down, okay, because I'm going to get excited very soon. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. But even now, but, oh, what a word, but, oh, that's an anointed word, ah, but with God, but with God, all things are possible. What about your if onlys? Is there a but after your if only? Or are you just rehearsing your if onlys? See, the but requires a renewal of the imagination. Because right now your mind is full of the if onlys. But you need a but in your life. It will put a full stop to all that other stuff. If only this, if only that, if only da 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 da. But it's like a full stop to all your if onlys. And it can translate you into a glorious future as you renew your mind as to how things can be. I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. This is before Paul wrote the New Testament, where he said, if any two or three of you shall, Jesus said, if any two or three of you shall agree as touching anything, shall be done for you by my Father who is in heaven. But that's an anointed word. That's all you need, folks. You only need one word to turn it around. But three letters, B-U-T, but. I don't care about where you've come from. I don't care about the mess you made. Oh, God, he came because he knew we were in a mess. The if only. He came for your if onlys. But have you got a but?
Yes.
It can put a stop to every addiction, every curse. But listen. Listen, guys, it's not too late. I know some of us feel like we've wasted our life, right? We've made so many mistakes. I was so slow to hear God and I missed my timing. But even now, that's the spirit of faith. If Martha can do it, you can do it. It's not too late. It's never too late. Samson ruined his chances. He wrecked his life. He squandered his anointing on prostitutes and riotous living. And after the devil poked his eyes out and he was the laughing stock of the Philistines, grinding round this corn, this grinding stone. You know, they used him like an ox. That's how he spent his last years of his life, serving the devil. And you might feel like you've spent a considerable part of your anointed calling, just chasing demons, fighting problems, you know. But even now, Samson, on his last day, put his hand between the two poles of the temple and pulled them down and killed the entire leadership of the Philistine army and the whole political thing. They lost every leader. And it says Samson accomplished more on the last day than his entire life. Someone say, but. But. You know, I'm amazed at what Jesus got done in 3 years. You don't need a lifetime. You feel like you've lost it, feel like you've wasted it. You don't need a lifetime. All you need is 3 years. And they'll be talking about you like they talked about Jesus. Here I am, Holy Spirit. Here I am. I'm your body. Just use me. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus lives outside of time. So the fact that he waited 2 days and Lazarus was dead didn't bother him. It was like it never happened. I love what Bill Winston says. Faith overrides time delays. When you're dealing with faith, you're operating outside of time and in the eternal. And when you walk by faith, you can have dominion over time. Oh, when you walk by faith, you can have dominion over time. It's not too late to walk in victory and see God's purposes come to pass in your life, for your kids, for your marriage, for your business, for your calling, whatever. It's never too late, because there's always a but. Oh! As long as there's breath in me, there will be a but. Hallelujah! As long as there's breath in me, there will be a but. Because the devil doesn't get the last say in my life. What about you? Have you got a but? I know it's tough. I know you've been fighting that devil for years. I know you've been fighting that thing for years. And you get weary and you just want to give up. But have you still got a but? Because that's all you need. That's all you need is a but. Have you got a but? I see that head. God turned the clock back on the sundial for Hezekiah as a sign that God was going to give him extra years in his life. And the sun stopped still for Joshua so he could finish the fight. God held time up. It stood at a standstill just so one man could finish the task God set him to do. Amazing. I love my Charlie Brown joke, and I've told it before, but there's some people here who haven't heard it before. Charlie Brown said, God put me on earth for a purpose. Right now, I'm so far behind, I can never die. Well, I thought it was funny. He must have been a faith man. When you walk by faith, you can have dominion over time. And Kevin, here's your verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, and he will direct your paths. Why try and figure it all out? Can't you trust God as a loving heavenly Father to lead you into the next step of his plan for your life? Abandon yourself to his love. I read Chris Vellaton's blogs, and one of his latest ones says this. Can you mess up God's plan for your life? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. And the word plans means purpose, destiny, invention, or design. I know the purpose. God can have many plans to help you fulfill your purpose. So you might have messed up one plan. But is that all there was? He's got lots of plans. I know the plans, plural, I have for you to get you to the fulfillment of your purpose. And I love what Chris said. God is not a circus ringleader trying to get you to walk a tightrope through life. And one step and you've missed it. One step off to the left or the right and you're history. God has a purpose for our life, but he doesn't necessarily have a plan. God has many plans to get us to our purpose. You cannot mess up God's purpose for your life. He has so many plans to get you to your purpose. So today, let's take the high stakes out of the equation of our destinies, take the weight of the world off our shoulders, and take a deep breath. God wasn't surprised or panicked that there was no room for Jesus to be born in and in. In the same way, he's not surprised that your life has not been perfect. Perfection was never the plan. And guess what? Whatever decisions you're facing today, he's with you in them and he's championing you into the incredible purpose he has set before you. I want to encourage you that no matter where you're at in your journey, keep pressing forward and pressing into him. He's good and he's got your back. Do you struggle with a religious tightrope mentality? Or is God a bit bigger than that? God puts little pictures inside us that reveal his purpose for our lives. What are those pictures that you've got inside you that remain undeveloped? Life is about getting these little snapshots of God's purpose for our life developed. And I loved what Lynn shared, and I'll just touch a little bit on that in closing, and then we're going to do some practice, because it's not what you know, it's what you do that blesses you. Jesus said, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. Now, I've heard a lot of messages on imagination, but if I'm honest, most of my imaginings are negative. You know, I love what Lynn said about the imagination. The Bible says to cast down imaginations, to cast down those thoughts that come to us, those negative things. Christians spend far too much time thinking about themselves instead of speaking the word and thinking negative thoughts. That's why you have so many depressed Christians, because they're not renewing their minds. They're just thinking about all the if-onlys. They forgot about the one word, but. That can turn all that around. And the Bible says to put off the old man and put on the new. And you know, sometimes we read these things and it's like they're just words on a page, because no one's actually broken it down for us to give us some understanding of how we're supposed to do that. I mean, come on, put off the old man. So what do you do? Get up in the morning and think, all right, time to put off the old man, put on the new man. What the heck does that mean? We've put on the armor, you know, okay. If you put your armor on this morning, brother, ooh, I forgot to put on the breastplate of truth this morning. Forgot to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Oh, I've had such an attack against my mind today because I forgot to put my helmet on when I got dressed. No wonder Christians, I mean, the world thinks we're goofy. I mean, if that helps, okay, but it needs to be a practical application of the truth and not just some, you know, religious thing that we go through. And, you know, for most of my life, I've struggled with that, putting off the old man, putting on the new. And it's so simple. The Bible actually talks about it. It says to put off the old man, put on the new, and be renewed, become a new person by changing the way you think, by renewing your imagination. It's time to let go all the if-onlys and start to see the possibilities that God has called us to. And in very practical ways, we can do this. And I've used this example before, but I thought I would never get married. And I used to sing that song, son, you'll be a bachelor boy until your dying day. Son, you'll be a bachelor boy. And all the other boys would go, they're having multiple dates, and all the girls are going out there. And I was sitting by myself at home, feeling sorry for myself, singing the song. You know, self-pity can be a wonderful comforter, but it won't give you victory. Eh? You can be powerful or pathetic, but you can't be both. Let me just say that again. You can be powerful or pathetic, but you can't be both. And you know, I had to let that song go. And it was hard because it used to stroke my sore emotions. Son, you'll be a bachelor boy until your dying day. Son, you'll... And one day the Holy Ghost gave me the spirit of slap and said, you idiot! Thanks be to God who always leads us in his victory in Christ and makes manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. That verse gave me that woman. She deserves better than that. Come on. What do I mean? I had to renew my imagination. I had to put on the new man. I had to call myself desirable. Because I didn't think I was. I thought I was ugly. I thought I had nothing going for me. Called up one girl and invited her to the pictures. And she said, oh, no, not you.
That was the last time I asked anybody out for a long time. And you thought you only felt like that about yourself. Look, we're so insecure. It's part of the fall. It's part of the fall. And you know, I had to go to war with that. If only I hadn't called that girl. I had to go to war with that. If only. And I had to start to paint a picture of myself calling somebody up on the phone and hearing them say, Oh, that's a lovely idea. Thank you. I'd love to go to the movies with you. And if I didn't have that picture in my mind, I would never have spoken to her. I would not have said boo. Yeah, it was so hard for me to renew my mind. But I used to go to parties and I used to go into a room and everybody would be talking and I'd go up to the wall and look at the paintings on the wall. And I remember those young people's leader coming up to me saying, "That's an interesting picture up there, Ray. It's a very interesting picture." People are cruel, you know. I mean, he knew I was struggling with integrating with the crowd and being social, you know. He knew I was struggling with that. So what was his response? "That's an interesting picture on the wall, Ray." You know. But I mean, I didn't have the confidence to talk to people. I was just alone in my room all day, sitting on the edge of my bed, staring at the wall, singing songs about being a bachelor. And then I end up going to a social party and I look at the picture on the wall. Why? Because they don't say ugly things about me. They can't talk. Okay, so what did I do? I'm just making it practical for you. And you're all struggling in different areas. Your business, you go for a job interview. If you see yourself, you know, if you're going for a job, you've got to see yourself as desirable and employable. You go there with an understanding, I am the person they are just waiting for. They are waiting for me. They have had 50 people go for this interview. And none of them have got the job. Not because it's such a hard job to get, but because he's just waiting for me to show up. You see, it depends how you think. And you'll have confidence. You'll exude confidence. We were as grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in theirs. If you are pathetic, they will think, if you're thinking you're pathetic, they will see you as being pathetic. They will see you the way you see yourself. How do you see yourself this morning? Is it the old man with all the if-onlys, or is it the new man who Christ has made you, leading you in victory, powerful? You can be powerful or pathetic, but you can't be both. Are you going to be powerful and victorious this morning, or are you going to be a loser? And you have to change what's going on up here for that to work. So I started to take areas of my life that were not working for me. Now, I know I've talked about my car quite a bit already, and some of you have thought that I've talked too much about my car, but I like talking about my car. When my brother said he brought his Ferrari and his Lamborghini and his Aston Martin to the Christmas party and everyone went out and took it for a drive, he says, "Ray, take the Aston Martin for a drive." And I says, "No, I can't afford to pay the insurance, the excess on the insurance." And but that wasn't the real reason. The real reason was I couldn't see myself in that car. That was the real reason. And God cannot get anything to you that you can't see yourself driving, doing, being, or having. Because you will sabotage. You will sabotage everything God wants to do for you. You will destroy. Because your imagination has not created the reality of that for you to walk into. So it's very important that we put these things on. We put on these possibilities. We start to see ourselves the way God sees us. Casey Treat sat down with Fred Price, and Fred Price had all this golden cutlery. And I know people do outrageous things with prosperity, but you know, they will answer to him, they are his servants, not ours, and we cannot judge what they do with their money. I think all of that's got to stop. If they want to buy giraffes, it's their business, it's their money. If you work hard and become a success, you can do whatever you want with your money. But don't criticize somebody else for doing what they do with theirs. It's not yours. And you are not their judge. Judgment has to leave the church. And the days of finding fault are over, for the judge has left the seat. And it's supposed to stay empty until he gets back in it again. And who do you think you are, sitting in an unoccupied seat that he intended to leave vacant until the day that he's not looking forward to? But we so readily, so quickly want to take his place. So anyway, that was just for free. But he had gold-plated cutlery. And he sensed that Casey Treat was just uncomfortable sort of holding it. And Fred Price said to him, "Casey, if you're not comfortable with it, you'll never have it." And I wasn't comfortable driving my brother's Aston Martin, because I needed to rearrange, you know, my internal world. I didn't feel like I belonged there. Do you know what I mean? I just didn't feel like I was comfortable. Fortunately, I had a foretaste, because Kevin very generously loaned me his whatever it was, whatever you got, Lexus, and I drove that for a couple of days, and man, I was like, yeah, where's the keyhole? Where do you put the key? There is no key. You just push a button. How do you open the door? Oh, you push a button. I thought, you know. And all these things, you know, and the windows go down all by themselves when you push a button. I mean, I never had cars that did that before. It was a new world. And I got used to it after a while. And then finally, I adjusted my internal world to the point where God knew he could speak to me and said, "Ask your brother for a car." Now, if he'd said that to me a year ago, I couldn't have done that, because my internal world would not have permitted me to do that. But I had to make a mental accommodation to the fact that God had promised me at the beginning of last year that last year would be a year of outrageous abundance. And I had to think, now what does that look like? See, God says things to us, but we don't translate it into our imaginations. What does it look like to be healed? What does it look like to have a ministry? I had an opportunity when I was in that church I was telling you about in the States, and I'll wrap this up now. But I had an opportunity to preach in a church of 2,000 people. And this church only had a couple of hundred, but he says, you know, the next time you come, I'd like to put you in Pastor so-and-so's church. You know, it's in another state just down the road. But he would love what you have. And before he had an opportunity to finish what he was saying, I cut him off and changed the subject. Why? Because it scared the life out of me. And still to this point, I cannot see myself preaching to a church of 2,000 people. And I never will, until I can see myself preaching to a church of 2,000 people. And you'll never get up and give your testimony or lay hands on the sick or fulfill whatever you have God has called you to do until you can start to see yourself being a good mother, being a good father, a good husband. Stop calling yourself a useless husband, a useless wife, a useless business person. "I don't have business skills." That's a lie from hell. We're supposed to be the head and not the tail. But until we start thinking like we are, we won't be. I could tell you so many stories. I'm going to have to wrap it up here now. What I want us to do in finishing is, I want you to go to some place in your life where you have got an if only that talks to you all day long. And people, I say this as lovingly as I can, it is your brain. And no preacher can get in there and change your mind. Only you can do that. Only you can get in there and pull down your stronghold. And you do that by putting another man up there, a new man, a new picture, a new imagination. It might be sickness, it might be business, it might be family. Could be with your kids. I tell you, that's some of the harder, because that goes deep. That relational stuff goes deep. So,
Your imagination. Come on, let's go there. I'm going to stop talking. But you go there right now because I want you to have a practice session so that we take something with us that's practical today. Build your imagination of victorious overcoming.